This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 12:47. This is Nation Radio. We're now joined by Dean Bélanger from Jets Nation. Dean, how are you enjoying this beautiful weather today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Very, very good. Now, are you... let's start with Kyle Wellwood, okay? He keeps defying the odds, and I was reading on Gabe Desjardins' site the other day about the fact that you know, he really is, you know, trending well, and no matter what else happens, a Kane coming along and that sort of thing, when he's playing this well, you just got to keep him in the lineup, right? He's playing that is so well, you can't bring him out or move him down the depth chart.
Kyle Wellwood has been probably, from game one to now, their most consistent forward. And the ultimate compliment is they've moved him up and down each line, I think, to get other players going. It's been him and Nick Antropov, another big surprise, who've been consistent from game one on. He's been great, and he's pacing right now for a career high in points.
You know, and he, the thing about Wellwood is he's always been kind of a slick guy, and you know, there was, you know, speed concerns, inconsistency, you know, concerns, sort of like the poor man's Mike Comrie kind of thing. But he, the last year and a half, it seems like he's found his way and found a way to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, he was, I did a little research on him. I'd forgotten that he was a fifth-round pick. And you know as well as I do, fifth, sixth, seventh-round picks have to work harder. First, second, third-round picks, they just get more opportunities. Kyle Wellwood, in his second full year as a Leaf, was almost a point-a-game player. His game fell apart the next year, and poof, he was gone. You know, memory gets a little bit sketchy as we get later on in life, so I did a little looking. I thought, honestly, he was blown out by Burke when Burke came in and did the whole truculence thing, but he was actually gone just before that, in that horrible, horrible period where they just had misdirection and everything else. So he went from being a point-a-game center to having a pretty tough year, and boom, he was blown out, and lo and behold, Vancouver signs him as a UFA, and then he ends up in Russia, and then he's signed by St. Louis. He's on waivers. It's just been a nightmare. So I think he's been pretty happy with Winnipeg. I think they've been happy with him. I'm sure come the new year, they'll start looking at doing a new deal for him.
You know, looking at the Jets and the standings, they're tied for 12th, but they're really like a couple of points out of a playoff spot, and that's where you want to be, you know, in the mix there for the, you know, playoff opportunity as the year goes on. You don't want to slide down like maybe the Islanders have and Carolina. What's the key improvement over last year's Thrashers to this year's Jets?
I don't honestly know if there's been one. And if you look at it, December 1st of last year, Atlanta was in seventh place. They were playing very good hockey, and they had a +6 goal differential. Too far after that, the wheels fell off. They fell down. They ended up being a 12th place team last year with a -46 goal differential, which is just a huge swing. Right now, they're 13th place, pretty similar to where they were last year. They're -9 on a goal differential right now, put them on pace for about a -30. So I think there's some trending arrows there. But really, by the numbers, they kind of are where they are and where they were last year. Now, on the positive side of things, yes, they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot in a very, very, very jumbled up East right now. 7 right down through 13 is tight. And they've done it without two of their top four defensemen in Hainsey. I guess you could argue maybe he's a fifth, but let's say Hainsey, the way he was playing before he went out, and Tobias Enstrom. So you get those two players back, you're probably looking pretty good. And yeah, I think everyone has to be, you know, happy with where they are. They've got to make some hay at home here. They got a very, very good schedule as far as a lot of home games, and they need to take advantage.
Evander Kane is a guy who's scoring well now. He's on track for 40 goals if he keeps, you know, doing what he's been doing lately. That's a heck of a season. What's the story with his hot streak? Did they move him up a line, or what happened to ignite this?
Well, what happened was the Noel blender struck very well for him. He's been playing with Little lately. Little has been lights out the last couple of weeks. But you know what? It's just one of those things. Kane's shots are going in. He's a streaky player. He will always be a streaky player. He's the only one-shot scorer I see on that team, and right now they're going in. We know he'll have a dry spell, but I agree with you. I think somewhere right now he's going to be between a 30 and 40 goal season, which is a great improvement. He's going in the straight line, and he reminds me so much of a young Jerome McGinley. He doesn't really drop the gloves, but he gets his nose in there. He's not afraid. He's a shift disturber when he needs to be. I really, really like this kid. I think you're going to see he's going to become a superstar.
Well, I think he's the best young forward on that team, and that's saying something because that Russian kid's very good, and Little's good too. So
I might put my money on Burmistrov in the long run, but two different players. It's actually, you know what? It's a lot like a Keith Tkachuk playing with a Zhamnov.
Right. And so what you're telling me is both will end up being traded.
Well, Tkachuk actually stayed with that organization for quite a long time.
Yeah, you're right, he did. Okay, I talked to Scott Taylor last week, and we got into a conversation about Dustin Byfuglien, and he stated, despite Byfuglien wanting to be, play defense, he stated he wants to stay on the blue line, that in Scott's estimation, the roster sets up very well for Byfuglien to be the big power forward on the right side. Do you agree with that?
Yes, that is a fair statement, and short term, it's probably the right answer. I still think they need to see this through, and there's a few reasons for that. He's 26 years old. It takes NHL defensemen forever, hello, Mr. Smead in Edmonton, to develop. He's, 260 pounds. Is that the fair weight to throw around? He is a load. When he leans on people, they go down. He scored 20 goals last year. He led NHL defensemen. He's already got five this year. I think the perception out there right now is he's not playing very well. And he's got the same amount of points as Mr. Wellwood does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's playing well, but they got to rein in the riverboat gambler a little bit. And I think part of that might be he played a lot with Enstrom, and Enstrom's out. So I think you're probably seeing him and Bogosian maybe playing a little bit too much, or maybe in different roles that probably they shouldn't be at this point in time. But the biggest reason why I don't think you transition him yet, one, if he wants to play there, then respect that and see it through the end. And two is Charlie Huddy. If Charlie Huddy can't make a defenseman out of this guy, then nobody can.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, I would let it go. I was the most exciting thing that happened in this offseason from a player personnel aspect for me was the hiring of Huddy. I thought that was the most exciting thing they did. I looked at their roster. I looked at all the good young defensemen. And I thought this is going to make hay for them in the long run.
You know, I was looking at the standings, and maybe I'm dreaming here, but if you look at the Eastern Conference with Montreal, Winnipeg, and Toronto's, up there, but they're a team that could slide back into that 7-8. What would it mean for Winnipeg if the Jets are in a race with Montreal and Toronto for 8th in the Eastern Conference and end up, beating the other two out and making the playoffs? That'd be a massive story.
That would be probably euphoria. That would, what the Blue Bombers did this year, and yes, we're still hurting a little bit from that, to go from worst to the Grey Cup, worst to first, get to the Grey Cup, that's an amazing accomplishment. A little easier to do in the CFL. If the Jets came back this year, a team that was, perennially terrible as far as playoffs are concerned in Atlanta, to come in the first year with little to no roster improvements, and take that and ride that out to the playoffs would be insane. I think if you asked every Jet fan at the beginning of the year, does this team need to make the playoffs for you to be happy? Pretty much everyone would say no. The ride has been pretty fun. The home games are great. The fans are into it. They're beyond amazing. And I really think that would be the cherry on top. So, yeah, it'd be pretty special, but really it's been special already.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, thanks for this, man.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
All right, Dean Belanger from Jets Nation. You can read his stuff there. And interesting insight there. Byfuglien's an interesting character because, he's a load on the right wing, but he's also, a major talent on the blue line. And I just think of already the number of goals that he's scored from the blue line on the point. That might be where he's most valuable. So Winnipeg Jets fans have a lot to look forward to this in over the next few seasons. There's a lot of talent there. Now, coming up in hour number two, we've got a few things going on. We'll talk to Kent Wilson at the top of the hour about the big Battle of Alberta tonight. Also, Thomas Drantz from Canucks Army and JP Nakoda from Leafs Nation. So stay tuned. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.